the generation we're in now
yeah.
has brought so much light to so many things that were so shut down years ago, but it's also brought a community of people who get offended. So there's a lot of like goodness that comes from it, and knowledge and education, which yeah. I love, but there's also a new generation of...
All truly great thoughts are conceived by walking. In this Echo Walks podcast series, we're going to explore those thoughts of some really interesting people. We're going to be talking about their passions, how they became who they are today, and where they hope to walk to next. I'm Stevie Johnson, and I hope you'll take a walk with me. Today, we're here with the wonderful lifestyle content creator, Eden Harvey. Eden's best known for her ever-growing presence on TikTok with over 3 million followers. Eden, lovely to meet you.
Lovely to meet you.
So you grew up in the countryside.
I did, yes.
You live out here, it's beautiful.
Thank you.
I take it you choose this over city life any day of the week.
Any day. I lived in the countryside for 14 years and my mum said, now we moved to secondary school, we need to live in a town so you have like friends and stuff and you can get, because there was one bus from the school to back to my home. And yeah. mum was like, thought it was a good thing. She was like, we're moving to a town so you can be more sociable. And I remember when we moved from the countryside, I just cried for weeks. I was so upset to be living in a town.
Yeah.
And now I'm just so grateful that I can live back in the countryside. Yeah. I choose this over city life
back in
any day.
Yeah, but it is very blissful, I've got to say. And I've heard you're quite into horse riding, so good to be back in the countryside then.
I adore horse riding. When we were younger, me and my sister Freya had two horses, and we would always go horse riding, doing lessons, going out in the countryside on hacks. Like, it's just such an escape
yeah.
from like reality. Like, horse riding is just a dream.
Yeah, sounds like I'll have to try it. I've never ever ridden a horse, but maybe whilst we're here.
Yeah, there's the stables over there if you want to.
You've mentioned family already a fair amount of time. How important are family to you?
Family are everything to me. Like, I personally don't have many friends. Like, I have probably one friend that like I trust and I will see like happily.
Yeah.
But like, to me, family are my friends. They're like, my family come before everything.
Great, 100%. Nice. No, I, you know, love hearing that. And you went to school not too far from here in Tunbridge Wells.
Yeah, I went to secondary school.
What
there.
Were you like at school?
Every year was different. So when I first joined, I was a bit more shy. I didn't want to get my personality yeah. out. I just wanted to like fit in, because it was a massive change. Because my primary school had 82 people in total.
Okay.
Like all together. So moving from a primary school to that secondary school environment yeah. was a huge difference.
Big shock,
for me.
Yeah. yeah. Yeah.
So I stayed quite like quiet until year 9. Then my personality came out, made lots of friends. And then around year 10, 11, it became quite like, not toxic, but like I didn't have many friends and yeah. I'd spend my lunch times with Freya, because Freya went to the same school.
Oh, nice. So you had that support at least.
Yeah. Until she left. And then yeah. like I was just like a bit of my own. But with school, I always say like, you miss one day and everything's changed
yeah.
and suddenly your friends don't like you and yeah. you don't know about this. And so I was not a massive fan of school,
yeah.
I must say.
Okay. So what was the plan after school then? What did you want to get into?
I wanted to be a zookeeper.
All right. Interesting.
Yeah. I wanted, so after school, I went to a college called Hadlow College and I studied animal management. For 2 days.
Yeah, just 2 days.
Just 2 days.
Wow.
Just because, again, the environment and the people
sure.
that come with it. But yeah, I always wanted to be a zookeeper. When I was younger, my parents for like Christmas or birthdays would get
yeah.
me like a gift of like a zookeeper for a day.
Yeah.
So I'd go to like
it's
zoos.
An awesome gift.
Yeah, it's so good. And you can like feed the tigers and like
yeah.
clean out. One time I was cleaning out the elephants whilst they were all like out in the paddock, all locked away, obviously.
Yeah.
But there was a big group of us that had all become a keeper for a day. And they obviously had forgotten about me. They'd got all the group out. They'd released the elephants to come back in. So these elephants are charging into their new bedding. I am still in there. And I'm like, please, can someone help? My dad was there as well. He was screaming. He was like, my daughter's in there. She's going to be trampled. Luckily, I got out in time. But yeah, I always wanted to work with animals.
Yeah. I'm sure the elephants would have taken you as one of their own
if
you know, you hadn't been saved then. all right, so learn a little bit more about kind of your early life, school and so on.
Yeah.
Obviously, TikTok's a big part of your life now. How did you first get into that?
Well, I started it. So I do drama in South London.
Yeah.
My mum is the, she's like the director, so she'll pick a play and we'll all do like a amateur dramatics.
Okay.
But when lockdown happened, obviously we couldn't do that. We couldn't get together and put on a play. So what we did is I got TikTok.
Yeah.
My friend showed me it on a train once. We did a really silly like lip sync, and then I was
which
like,
is what TikTok was all about back then, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I was like, this was actually really fun. That's really cool. So I downloaded it, and then my friend thought it was a joke. She just like went back to her thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm like, oh, I actually really enjoyed that. So what I do is just do random lip syncing videos, because like that like filled that space where I wanted to be acting.
Yeah.
And then I was working in a taxi office. Obviously I had to leave that job.
Yeah.
Because my dad was high risk and it was coronavirus.
Okay.
And I just wanted to do my own thing. And I never thought like, oh, this will be my job. I just thought this is fun whilst we're all in lockdown.
Yeah.
I'll go back to the taxi office when COVID has like calmed down a little bit. But no, it just grew and grew and grew, because in the lockdown everyone downloaded it.
Yeah, for sure. It was kind of an escape for a lot of people, wasn't
it?
And that's when it became not really just an app for Gen Z. It's kind of, you know, all different types of audiences kind of all migrated to TikTok. And obviously you started Eats with Eden.
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
I can. So obviously in the lockdown, so many people were lonely. And I always say this, there's so many different forms of loneliness, whether it's a single parent,
mm-hmm.
or just someone genuinely on their own,
yeah.
or like even like a teenager in their home. You live with your parents, but you'd feel lonely. You can't go and see your friends, can't do anything. So I just wanted to, it was quite selfish because I was lonely and I wanted friends. So, but I thought it would bring comfort to other people as well, because my friend in America did it. I saw her do it. And then I was like, I messaged her. I was like, do you think I could do that? She was like, well, I didn't create it. Like,
you do what you want.
Sure. I was like, okay. So I posted my first one having Marmite toast, and within
love Marmite toast.
Do you like Marmite? That's how you can tell if someone's a good person.
Great.
But within half an hour, it had hit 100,000 views.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't really care about the views. It's more the impact it has on a person.
Yeah. So how important was it for you to, to help people during what was obviously a really troubling time for everyone, really?
Yeah, I think it just brings you all closer, and it now, like even now, I meet people in the street, they'll be brought to tears because they'll think back to that time where they had no one and we just had each other. Like it was a harrowing thing. A lot of us lost a lot of people. I lost my granddad to COVID. So it was just like, it's a connection with your audience that most people wouldn't have,
because
it's not a time that's normal.
Sure.
So it just means so much to
definitely. I mean, it sounds absolutely incredible, and good on you for doing that. So, I mean, is loneliness something that you've battled personally in life?
I think loneliness is a state of mind as well as a physical thing.
Sure.
You can be on your own, like completely, and no one's there. You can also feel alone when you're surrounded by people. And I live with my parents, as I said, and I was just in my bedroom, but I still felt lonely.
Yeah.
Like, my parents were down there. Yeah. I adore my family more than anything, but it's more of like a state of mind for me. So I really, really struggled.
Yeah.
And I just thought, like, what can I do? Like, I feel so alone, but I shouldn't. There's people who are so much worse off than me.
Yeah.
So that's why I say, like, it was not selfish, but like I needed them as much as they needed me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, definitely. And so obviously mental health is something that's quite important to you. Is it something that you talk about in your content online?
Yeah. It's very, very important, because there's so many different kinds of mental health that people don't recognize.
Yeah.
So there's like, I personally have like a massive thing that I would go to therapy for, which is called emetophobia, which is like, sounds very irrational to people, but it's the fear of vomiting.
Okay.
So I've been to therapy for that so many times, but speaking out about it, people are so like, oh my goodness, I never knew this was a thing.
Yeah.
But like a lot of people are like, oh, everyone's scared of that.
Yeah.
But like, it is an irrational fear, but it's a real thing.
Yeah.
And doctors even recognize it now, and speaking out about it, people love that so much, and they're like, oh, you're bringing me so much comfort. To feel like you're not alone brings comfort to you.
And I feel like it's something, I mean, people talk now about a stigma in mental health, and not being or feeling like they could openly speak about things, back in the day, but I feel like even 10 years ago, people just wouldn't talk about that. And now, especially with like social media apps and younger generation wanting to talk about things, it's becoming a really valuable tool for people that are suffering.
Oh, 100%. I always say, like, if I'm doing a live stream or a video, I say, like, the generation we're in now has brought so much light to so many things that were so, like, shut down years ago, but it's also brought a community of people who get offended.
Yes.
So there's a lot of, like, goodness that comes from it, and knowledge and education, which I love, but there's also a new generation of, we call them snowflakes.
Yes, just I know people what a snowflake is.
Yeah, a lot of people who get offended by things that you wouldn't think years ago would offend someone. Yeah, yeah. So it's a very difficult dynamic to work through, definitely.
Definitely. Okay, well, I mean, thanks for taking me through some of that. It's all, you know, fascinating, and I'm in awe of kind of, you know, the success that you had in lockdown and how you were able to help people, which is great.
Thank you.
Let's talk about Echo Shoes. What made you excited to kind of partner with the brand and do this campaign for them?
I'm obsessed with autumn fashion.
Okay.
And when I saw these, I was like, yes, 100%. I'm having the most comfortable walk of my life right
now. Great. And not just because you're next to me.
Well, that's got a big factor. But I am so comfortable right now. I could walk for hours, I think.
Great.
But also just like, it's kind of like, the one thing I will spend money on is shoes.
Yeah.
I don't mind too much about jackets and stuff like this, but a good pair of shoes that are comfortable and you can just walk and they look good as well, that's what I'm all about.
Yeah, perfect. No, that's great. I'm also donning a pair, and I've got to say I thoroughly enjoy wearing them. that's all really great, and obviously a fantastic brand to kind of partner with. I guess for you and the content that you create, we've labeled you as a lifestyle content creator. Mm-hmm. Is there specific areas that you like to focus on more, such as kind of fashion? Is it more beauty?
I love to do, like, we call them hauls, which is like you show, like, so at the moment I'm doing like a little series of like autumn, like making an autumn outfit, because like a lot of people also look to people online for how to dress or how to do makeup or hacks and stuff like that. So I am all about at the moment autumn fashion. I love doing my favorite videos to do are my making an outfit, like an outfit of the day thing, or eat with me, anything that involves food. I'm all over.
Great. Honestly. And out of that, I mean, so what, obviously there are, you know, thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of influencers out there nowadays. What makes you unique as a content creator?
I'm authentic.
Okay.
So
it's a great word to use in the space.
I've met a lot of people who, we call it, you fall off. Uh-huh. So people, it's so easy to become successful, but it's so easy for it to go.
Yeah.
So holding it and staying authentic and staying true to yourself is so important.
Yeah.
Especially in social media, because when you get a community that are influenced by you, they will listen to your every word.
Yeah.
They will cling on to everything. And if you were to do an ad, they will buy it.
Yeah.
But if you're to just think of money or you don't think of the audience, that's when you will fall off.
Yeah, you've got to continue to keep relatable to that audience that you've built. And that, I mean, that brings us on to the audience of all audiences that you've built. I mean, 3 million followers on TikTok. How is hard the right word? How hard was it to get to that level? And when you hit the first mil, did you celebrate?
Of course. I had a balloon. It was so funny, actually. I was like, Freya, we're about to hit a million. It was going up so fast. And me and Freya were driving around trying to find the perfect setting to release this balloon.
Yeah.
And I was like, we were arguing. I was like, Freya, hurry up. I'm about to hit it. And then, I definitely celebrated. But it was quite quick to get to the second one, because I did transition videos, which are like, you like do this, you've got sunglasses on your face and like push this, like, and it all just puts together. And Will Smith, the actor, posted one of my videos on his Instagram grid.
Oh, how cool is that?
Yeah, so I woke up and my sister's calling me. She's like, Will Smith has put you on his Instagram. I'm like, I thought maybe like a country singer. But the Will Smith, I was on his Instagram grid and I was like, okay, so obviously that was a massive catalyst for the next million. But then also a lot of pressure, because I thought all these followers have come from those specific kind of videos, but I don't necessarily want to do them all the time. So that's where it's difficult, is the following for Eat With Me's transitions. Like, there's so many people that follow me for so many different reasons. Yeah. So I feel like sometimes I spread myself quite thin.
Yeah.
And I feel a lot of pressure.
Yeah, but I guess at the same time, spreading yourself, well, wearing many different hats means you've got that kind of wider reach, I guess.
Yeah.
So I take it the one that Will Smith reposted of you is your most popular video to date in terms of views.
Yeah, that one hit 40 million.
40 million, that's almost the size of the UK.
Yeah.
Not quite, but...
but it's because it hit America, American TikTok.
Yeah.
Which, when you hit America, they're all so lovely. Yeah. They're all so lovely to you. So you get used to, like, the UK where people will make comments about the way you look. Basically.
Yeah.
Americans just love...
just more supportive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, oh my God, I love your accent, your eyes. Like, they're all just so lovely. So it was a really nice kind of, like...
yeah.
Yeah, that was 40 million. That one was a huge one. But then all the other transition videos were, like, 20 million, 10 million. Like, it was amazing, but I couldn't keep up, and I was, if one wasn't reaching the same thing, I was like, oh, just forget about this.
Yeah,
like,
put that out of pressure on yourself. And speaking of pressure, now, you know, sitting here with kind of 3 million followers on TikTok, it's very much something you can make a career out of. Does that add to the pressure then? If it is a main revenue stream of kind of if people lose interest or if you drop off in followers and how that might impact you?
I think you can relate as well. Like, you can have such a huge following. Everyone knows you. You can't go out anywhere without people being like, oh. But when you go home, you're still exactly the same. Nothing changes.
Yeah.
And that's what people don't understand is, like, it's a lot of pressure to uphold this image that people have of you, because when you go home, nothing's different in your life. Like, you might have nicer things, but you don't change as a person.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of pressure to, like, keep up this image that people are perceiving of you.
Yeah, definitely.
That's what I struggle with.
Yeah, and I think, you know, just going back to one of your original points about family, that's, I mean, something in my background and my history, I was always very close, have always been very close to my family, and I was always still the same Stevie, right?
Yeah.
So every
time
I went
grounded.
Home, I'm the baby in the family.
Yeah, me
so
too.
If I ever put, you know, a foot out of step, it was very quickly whacked back into place. And
100%.
I think, yeah, surrounding yourself with the wrong people when that kind of level of fame is, that's where kind of issues might be able to happen. But no, it's all really interesting. So, I mean, I'm not going to say you've completed TikTok because there's still so much more to come, but are you active on any of the other main social media apps, or are there any you kind of want to target as, like, a next phase for you?
I'm happy on TikTok because I can just, like, be 100% myself, say whatever. I always say that, like, Instagram is like Yo Sushi for people. Like, it's like how you look, you know, whereas TikTok is more like a house party.
Okay.
Like, everyone just loves each other. Someone's doing their makeup somewhere, someone's having a drink, someone's doing a dance somewhere. Like, it's more of a family. Whereas I love Instagram if I have, like, a nice photo to post, but I don't reach for that when I go on my phone. I'll always go for TikTok.
Okay, amazing. So, I mean, what else are you passionate about? You've let me and you've let the listeners, the viewers, into a little bit about kind of countryside life, your history with school, with social media and so on. What else are your passions? You can't say horses because we've spoken about horses already.
I was going to say horses. My passions in life. I never actually get asked that. It's always me, like, reaching out to other people and saying, like, how are you? What am I passionate about? I love... it's just my home.
Yeah. It is a beautiful home. Yeah. And thanks for letting us in. It's, I've got to say, it's idyllic.
I'm passionate about my home, my family.
Yeah.
But my future as well.
Yeah.
I really want to do really well. I would love to go on.
Yeah.
I would love to speak in schools about, like, mental health or taboo subjects. Because I feel like when I was in school, things were really awkward to learn about.
Going back, you obviously, you know, you mentioned you worked in a taxi office. Is there anything else that you used to do that, you know, you see as part of your future potentially moving forward?
Yeah, so when I speak about, like, wanting to help people, I have a massive, like, maternal nurturing kind of feeling. So when I worked in the taxi office, the kids who would get a taxi from their home to school in the mornings and from the school back, they would require, like, assistance with them. So me and my dad went to training to become, like, a taxi escort was the name.
Yeah.
And so you would get in the taxis in the mornings and take them. So I had two people that I worked with, and one of them was called Jacob.
Yeah.
And he was a nonverbal autistic boy, and he was so lovely. But it's so rewarding because when someone can't speak, you have to get to know them in a way.
Yeah, definitely.
And like that feeling of reward. I think that's kind how I felt then is kind of linked to Eat With Me's and that kind of like feeling of helping someone, getting to know someone, making them feel good. So that was something I absolutely loved that job. I really, really did. I love working in the taxi office, but I loved doing that with the kids because you get to know them. And it became like the first few journeys were a little bit like, oh, I've never done this. Like you get frustrated and you're like, what does he want? Mm. And then the last journey with him, I had tambourines in the car and like, it was just like having, like I'm making him laugh. And the last day he got out of the car and he would always run straight into his home, put on Toy Story. Yeah. But on the last day, he understood that because I explained to him, like, I'm not going to be with you anymore. Obviously, like, COVID's happening. And he just waited outside his home.
Yeah.
And he just stood there. And I was like, I'm scared because he had a habit of running away.
Yeah.
So I got out and he just grabbed my hand, pulled me in. And his carer was there. And she was like, what's happening? I was like, I don't know. And he pulled me into the living room and just, like, put on Toy Story and was like looking to sit next to him. And I was just like, I can't come and sit with you, but like, it's been so nice to spend time with you.
Amazing. Heartbreaking, but amazing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess you've obviously kind of helped so many people along the way. Do you think you'll do something like Eats with Eden again?
Yeah, I love it. The thing is, when I was talking about pressure earlier, I feel like I would happily do Eat With Me's for the people that need it and actually care for it. But as I said, with lockdown, everyone downloaded it.
Yeah.
And there's so many people that are like, oh, well, you don't do it now. And that's what made you big. But I do it, but I don't do it at such a strict schedule because I want to enjoy it as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I want to enjoy what I'm doing. So when I sit down and I always want to be authentic and I wouldn't want to lie to the camera and be feeling anxious myself and have to eat, because you can pick up on that. People aren't silly. So I always do them at least once a week, but it used to be every single day. And now I was single as well. Yeah. Whereas now when you have a partner and a home and responsibility, you want to sit down with them and have dinner sometimes. You don't always want to have a camera in front of you.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Nice to be able to switch off and actually appreciate some of those moments when you're just kind of together.
Definitely.
Okay, great. Is there anything, you know, with all the knowledge that you've got now, is there anything you would have done differently?
I think, I always say like you shouldn't have regrets because like it's who you are today. But I think with the social media aspect, I maybe would have kept my private life a little bit more private.
Okay.
Because people think they have to know everything.
Yeah.
And sometimes if you want to keep something private, you have this feeling of guilt and you're like, oh no, I should tell them this, but then like, I don't know them.
Yeah.
So like, I would have kept things a little bit more professional and private, but I always think that's how I am where I am open.
Yeah. It's paved the way to who you are today.
Yeah. What would you have done differently? Am I allowed to ask that?
Why not?
What would you have done differently if you could?
What would I have done differently? You know what? I don't think there's a huge amount that I would have done differently. When I was in the spotlight, it was very much my kind of early to mid 20s.
Yeah.
So I was young enough where, you know, I could make mistakes and I knew I'd be able to bounce back. Thankfully, I made no mistakes. That's obviously a lie. But for me, it was always about the experience. It was never going to be long term.
Yeah.
And thankfully, I've kind of come into a role now where I can use some of those skills that I learned. But I think, I don't really look back and think about certain regrets.
It's difficult, isn't it? Because people say like scandals or things like, they happen, but like you are who you are today. So like that doesn't matter. Like we always say, if something bad's happening online, it's next week's fish and chip paper.
Yeah.
Like it always goes. It can seem like the worst, biggest thing and you get so badly trolled. And then 2 days later, it's a new thing.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, well.
Yeah, exactly. It never lasts for too long. But no. I'm definitely, you know, I've still got quite a big social media following, but not nowhere near as big as yours. But I'm definitely far more private now than I was.
Yeah.
You know, 5-6 years ago, which I think again comes with time and my position in life. You know, right now, you know, married with a baby,
that's just
so
the best.
There are more things that I kind of, you know, want to keep to myself. But
that's what I mean. You can't change anything when you're so rich. Like I always say, you're rich in life when you have the things money can't buy.
Yeah.
And a family is that. So I don't know if we would change anything from our past because this might not have happened.
Yeah, exactly. It puts you where you are today. Amazing. Look, I've really, really loved walking, chatting, catching up with you.
Me
so
too.
Thanks for thanks for joining me on this
and
getting to know you as well. You're awesome.
So thanks.
Yeah, thanks for the time today. And for everyone watching or listening, be sure to subscribe for more episodes like this. And hopefully they're all as fun and entertaining as this one's been.
Thank you for having me.